Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm here with Ben Bolin. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm always doing well, man. As our producer said, let us proceed to rock. So
here we go. If we're going to rock, let's just get right into it then. Let's just say what we're up to. We're going to talk about today the world's most dangerous roads.
Yes, most dangerous roads.
Which I think is pretty awesome. I mean, because I've got an idea of what a dangerous road is. I've been on roads that I consider dangerous, mountain roads that are, you know, gravel and maybe, you know, high altitude with a cliff next to them or something. But I'll tell you, every road that I've ever been on compared to the ones that I'm seeing here, pretty meek.
Oh, yeah.
Really meek compared to what I hear, either the conditions of the road, the physical conditions of the road, mm-hmm. or kind of what happens around the road. And we'll discuss that in a little bit, but there's some pretty dangerous situations you can get into on, you know, I guess, you know, roads that you shouldn't travel on, really.
Right, the road that's better left untraveled. No, it's interesting that we're a show based in the United States, and we're talking about the world's most dangerous roads because, you know, for a long time, the interstate system has really given us a great deal. You know, we live in a country where we can drive from one coast to the other and probably not take some of the enormous risk that people driving on the world's most dangerous roads take.
We might not even have to go on a gravel road to do that. I don't think we would.
I don't think we would. No, I think it's paved.
Pretty sure you don't have to.
Yeah. So I guess real quick when we go in, maybe we can define this for our listeners. When we say road, we mean something that people would take a car on every day, not any crazy hiking trail or path. Although there are some very dangerous paths, of course, but we're talking about stuff that, believe it or not, and you might not believe it once you see the photos, these are roads that people drive to work on, that children go to school on, if they make it.
You know what? If they make it is key, because a lot of these roads you'll find, they're very very small roads, a lot of them, in many cases. Some are really long, but we'll talk about some real small roads that have surprising death rates. Per year, you know, we'll find hundreds of deaths per year on some of these roads. And, you know, they may only be 30 or 40 miles long at the most. So, you know, shocking death rates, I guess, is the better way to put it. But that goes to show you that, you know, there's something inherently dangerous about this road. Either it's the weather conditions, just where the road is built itself.
Sure.
The surroundings, the people that, you know, are around the road and the customs and the, you know, the...
crime rate, for
instance. Crime, I guess, would be a big one, really. There's just a lot of different reasons why these roads are listed as you know, the world's most dangerous roads. And you'll find lists like this all over the internet. In fact, we just, you know, gathered a bunch of the most dangerous, and we're going to talk about a few of them. We won't hit all of them. We're not going to count down from, you know, 10 to number one. But there is one that consistently came up as number one on the world's most dangerous roads. And we'll get to that at the end.
You want to save that one for the end?
Yeah, let's save it for the end.
Let's save that as a good one.
Because I guess really we need to kind of define what we're talking about. We kind of are starting that already.
Yeah.
But the roads that we think of as dangerous, you know, we had that discussion when we talked about Pikes Peak just a while back. It wasn't that long ago. And there was a particular turn called the Bottomless Pit. Mm-hmm. The Bottomless Pit is, I think we said it was right around, I couldn't
find
the
number. About 1,000?
I think it was about 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet.
Maybe a little less, but still you're talking about a long drop. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's difficult to go off of the Bottomless Pit, really. You would have to either be out of control, you know, your vehicle would have to have lost its brakes.
Sure.
The roadway is well marked. There was a case recently of someone who drove off of it intentionally, but they have that race there every year, and no one's ever, you know, crashed off at the Bottomless Pit corner during the race. I don't know. It seems like, you know, sure, that's dangerous, but it's easily avoidable. In this case, we're talking about roads where, like you said, they have to go from the village to maybe the capital city
sure.
Of the region, and this is the only way to get there, or it was the only way up until a certain point. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It comes down to, you know, the road that you have to travel, really.
And this is very much a this is very much a pertinent concern. You know, this is very relevant to people. I've got some numbers, Scott, if you want to hear some numbers.
Not do I ever.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, sure I
okay,
do. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So tell me what you think about this. According to the Association for Safe International Road Travel, over 1 million people die in road crashes each year.
1 million?
Let's break that down to 2,700 people a day. Right.
What? And, wait. 27? I've never heard the statistics.
Yeah, yeah. 2,700
people
a day die.
Every single day.
It's a big world, but also these are, you know, we have to consider that 85% of these road crash fatalities are in developing countries. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot, there are a lot of factors in a developing country, like we were talking about, that tend to make driving more dangerous. But another thing, I've got two more crazy mm-hmm. ones, and then we'll move on,
okay.
Right? Okay. The leading cause of death for men ages 15 to 44 worldwide, road crashes.
Wow.
Which
that's
is...
That's the number one cause.
That's, yes. Now, of course, this is a statistic from the Association for Safe International Road Travel. So
I
don't know.
Does it have something to do with testosterone and, you know, I could drive a little faster.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Do you think that's it?
I think that's a very distinct possibility. There's probably a factor in, you know, well, in a lot of countries, men are the primary drivers. We've talked about that
true.
As well.
And, yeah.
And here's the last one, and this just blows my mind, Scott. This organization estimates that the cost of road crashes, the cost to developing countries, is approximately $60 billion, and that's about twice the amount of money they receive in developmental assistance.
Whoa.
So think of how much money we could save if we can make these roads safe.
You said $60 billion with a B.
Billion with a B.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Now, that I was just blown away. I'll tell you, the one out of that that mm-hmm. shocked me the most is the 1 million people a year.
That's, yeah,
that's
very, very, very important.
Well, how many a day was that again?
2,700 a day.
2,700 fatalities mm-hmm. on the road every
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, when you look at some of these roads, though, that we're talking about, I mm-hmm. guess you can see where, you know, and I've heard stories of these on these roads, reading these stories,
yeah.
Saying that, you know, there may be a busload of people that have 100 people on the bus that go over a cliff at one time.
Jeez.
So I can understand how the number climbs, but... and that's just one accident, you know, that hasn't happened in a while, and that was in a certain region. We'll talk about it later.
Mm.
But I can understand that, you know, when you get public transportation that's packed like that and then something happens, I can imagine that it's you know, tremendous loss.
Well, let me ask you, if you know a lot about cars, you know a lot about, you know, all the automotive-related stuff. I was wondering if you could break down for me a couple of the more infamous or notorious dangerous roads. And maybe, if it's cool, maybe why these places are so much more dangerous.
Yeah, well, we've got a few. We've got, now there's a lot of top 10 lists out there.
Okay.
And these are in no order at all. But Forbes had a good list. I think there was another one from, I forget the name of it. It was like Most Amazing Facts or something
okay.
like that. It was just you know, just random sites. But they all seem together, this list from that organization that you had mentioned, the Association for Safe International Road Travel.
Yes.
That's kind of the organization that puts out these main lists that say, here are the most dangerous in the world, and based on our figures. Let's just start out with one in Egypt. There's a scuba diving resort along the Red Sea that's... to get there between the city of Luxor and
Gurdakwa.
There you go.
I am probably butchering that.
That's better than I would ever do. Thank you for you can step in at any point in any of these names, by the way,
names.
Because every one of them I will have trouble with.
I will take the fall for mispronouncing these.
This is crazy, but it says at night, drivers speed across the dusty desert with their headlights off.
Why?
Setting stage for head-on collisions. The reason is because it's more dangerous to drive with your headlights on. And you would say...
Why?
Why? Yeah. The reason is because the bandits are the people that want to, well, you know, pull you over. They'll sidetrack your car, take all your money, possibly murder you, you know, et cetera. There's a lot of bad things going on out there in the desert, apparently.
So it's safer to drive...
Yeah, they say that terrorists patrol the highways between between these two cities. They call them bandits, or you know, these are like the Badland areas, I guess.
Yeah.
And they say that, you know, yeah, it's much safer to drive with your headlights off at night.
That's remarkable.
Blows me away. But they said that it just sets this perfect stage for head-on collisions in that region.
That sounds to me as though it means that your chances of having an accidental head-on collision are lower. The chances of a fatality due to a collision are lower than the chances of a fatality due to driving with your headlights on.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, I it's hard to believe, but if the area is that dangerous,
yeah,
I got to tell you, I wouldn't be crossing it at night.
That's a, you know what? That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I love resorts and I love the ocean and mm-hmm. everything about it, but I don't think I could. I don't think I would drive in an
so
area
for
like
a chance to scuba dive in the Red Sea, you wouldn't. You wouldn't risk death and destruction, I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't risk it at night, Scott.
No, me either. I wouldn't. You know what? I think during the day I would even avoid that area. It seems like. I mean, that's probably not accurate. I bet it's much more safe during the day. But
so I, that I road that road is dangerous then more due to crime.
Correct. Yeah, that's one of the okay. The crime regions or reasons, I guess. Another one, which is called the world's longest motorable road. That's according to Guinness, is in the Costa Rica region. This is the Pan American Highway that runs 30,000 miles.
Oh, yes, from Alaska to Patagonia, right?
See, you know this. Yep, you know this already. This is the reason that it's dangerous is because to avoid construction projects in the rainforest.
Okay.
They put a halt to construction projects and things that are happening in the region, and there's a lot of mudslides and the road gets washed out, and there's just a lot of dangerous areas due to that, of course.
Really? Yeah. Okay, so lack of construction.
Yeah, that's right. It's I guess the part that goes through Costa Rica is particularly the most dangerous.
Oh, Scott, hang on. If I'm correct, I think you're referring to the infamous little stretch of road there between San Isidoro and Cartago. I probably butchered that.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry. I need to apologize to my Spanish teachers. It's also known as the Hill of Death.
And I would say, the Hill of Death? What? That sounds terrible. Why would you ever drive on a road that's called the Hill of Death, that has anything on it that's called the Hill of Death?
Well, you know, I think when a lot of people hop on the road, they're thinking of it as the Pan American Highway.
Yeah, true.
They don't learn about the Hill of Death.
Probably don't call it the Hill of Death, but yeah, I can understand where that would be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got another one here on the list. In China, the danger is other people, it says. And I believe that the population, just merely having that volume of people on the
sure.
roads. And they said that car accidents in the past 20 years have climbed from 3.9 to 7.6 per 100,000 of the population. That's the number of deaths, rather, caused by car accidents.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And they said that the volume of cars on the road has increased ninefold. But get this, the number of motorcycles has jumped by a factor of 54.
Wait, by a factor of 54?
Factor 54. Now, I'm no math major, but sounds like an awful lot of motorcycles to me.
That is a tremendous.
And, you know, I've seen videos of intersections and, you know, stretches of highway where it's nothing but motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this in India as well.
Yeah.
Again, video, not haven't been there.
Scooters and motorcycles.
Scooters and motorcycles and two-wheel vehicles that carry entire families. Mm-hmm. Very dangerous.
Yeah, or yeah, used as cargo vehicles.
Yeah, and here's a crazy statistic. They said that there were 82,000 deaths, road deaths, in 2006.
82,000
in China.
Wow.
That's in just 1 year.
That's
a pretty big
amount.
Portion of that,
yeah.
1 million that you had mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nearly 10%. So shocking number.
I had heard that the worst part of that area was the Sichuan-Tibet Highway. Which is supposed to be up in the Himalayas.
I'm going to scramble through my notes because I'm sure it's on here somewhere. But go ahead. Oh, here it is. Go ahead.
Is that right?
Yeah,
no,
that's
I'm
right.
Guessing.
Yeah. I mean, I've got. There are so many of these, Ben. I mean, you'll hear us reading and scrambling through this, mm-hmm. but there are so many of these roads that you know, you've got little bits of information. I got little bits mm-hmm. of information. Mm-hmm. Trying to gather all these was remarkable. It was difficult. So,
yeah.
But anyways, go ahead, please.
Oh
do.
Well, we should tell our listeners, guys, we're not going to get to all the dangerous roads because there are quite a few, and you know, we don't want to say that we're only giving the highlights or our favorites, because we don't want to think of dangerous roads as our favorites and highlights. But these are amazing places, and in China, if you are in China and you are driving, the part of the Chinese roadways you want to look out for is Sichuan-Tibet Highway. Again, this place is, you know how you see those warning signs when you're up in the Appalachians that say caution. Falling rocks.
Yes.
Well, those are common, not the signs. The event is common on this highway. So if you're driving on this highway, you need to watch out for landslides and rock avalanches.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But there's a real, real concern about this, that it happens often, right? Because I see those signs all the time. I may see a couple of, you know, remnants of a rock slide that happened in years past, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not common at all, really, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that, you know, it's kind of a daily thing, or if not,
I don't know
if more often than that.
It is common. It's not surprising. And of course, as you pointed out earlier, the most dangerous part is just how dealing with the density of drivers and motorcyclists on the any roadway.
Makes sense. The more vehicles you have to deal with, the more you know, prone it is to accidents, I suppose. Let's move to the UK.
Let's move to the United Kingdom.
Yeah, no, not really move there. Let's talk about it.
All right.
If you want to move there, you can.
I
A44. A44 is a stretch of highway that runs from Oxford to, and I'm going to mess this name up, Aberystwyth.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's close.
Well,
it's close.
What you can tell the people, our listeners in the UK, if it sounds like Scott messed it up, it's our American accents.
That's right. Yeah, it's my Southern American accent. That's right. Even though I'm from never mind. Never mind. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, this two lane road has enough fatalities and serious injury accidents that the government has installed surveillance cameras in order to monitor speeding and collisions, so they can send out recovery vehicles, I guess. They said that on this stretch of road, more than 25% of the crashes are head on collisions. More than 25% of the collisions are head-on.
That's very, very strange.
You're looking at me with very wide eyes, but that's unbelievable when you think about it. And that's two-lane road, of course, so you know, that's dangerous right there to begin with.
Right.
Speeds must be incredibly high because, you know, there's this
got to be a median of some sort.
Yeah, this government surveillance that's going on here because they know there's something happening there that, you know, it's dangerous. Anyways, I would think that, you know, some of these are pretty horrible accidents.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, just to make the list, it's got to be bad.
Yeah, because these are definitely the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm. So. You have any more here? Because
I want to hear the ones you have.
I've got a few. I mean, I don't want to go through all of these because a lot of them, you know, I'll tell you, Ben, a lot of these just have to, a lot of mountain passes, a lot of switchbacks, a lot of terrain that's uncertain. A lot of washed-out roads that we're talking about, you know, up in the mountains that, you know, maybe no one can repair right away, and the next person that happens along that, you know, they go right down with the road.
Right.
And
then a lot of these places are in, with the exception of the UK, a lot of these roads are in places where the average automobile may not be in the best condition.
Correct. Yeah, that could happen as well. And then you've got buses, and you've got overpacked buses to begin with, you know, that are a little bit, well, not a little bit, but a lot top heavy. Just dangerous, dangerous situations all around. And not only that, imagine these tiny little mountain passes where you've got, you know, big diesel trucks that are carrying cargo.
Oh, man.
Trying to pass a bus that's carrying, you know, I don't know, 100 people, let's say.
Jeez.
To and from, you know, the capital and the small city. And they're trying to pass on a road that's barely wide enough for a car, really. I mean, what we would consider one lane.
It's like 3 meters wide.
Yeah, that's right. And they consider it, you know, they can pass a bus and a cargo vehicle there on the same pass. You know, tires are barely on the edge, just ready to slip over. So hazardous.
I'll give you. I think we're about ready to go to our numero uno, right?
Oh yeah, I think we are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, lay it on me, man.
All right. Here's another one. I'll mess the name up on. It's in Bolivia.
Uh huh.
It's called the North Yungas Road. Pretty close.
Are you talking about the one built by prisoners of war from Paraguay back in the 30s?
Doesn't that sound just menacing? That right there sounds it makes it sound like a haunted road or something like that.
Is this the same road where drivers stop to pour beer on the ground beseeching a local goddess for safe passage?
You know what? You're exactly right. And this is the road that it's only 40 miles long, like we said. And the annual death toll each year is well over 100 people on this 40-mile stretch of road.
Wow.
And some estimates are saying 200 to 300. I've seen that in a few different places.
Because not all of it's reported.
That's some of it. And the other is that, you know, some years there's a lot more. This is the average annual.
Oh, yep. Good
point. So 200 to 300 deaths a year. 100 is pretty much the known amount that happens there every year. Now, I will say this, that they're in, we should say where it is. It leads from La Paz to Coroico, I think is how you say it, C-O-R-O-I-C-O, mm-hmm. which is Bolivia's capital. I don't know how to say that that capital city, I'm sorry. But there is now a new road that has taken its place, and it took 20 years to build. So that'll give you an idea of how difficult this terrain is. You're talking about the Bolivian Andes Mountains, mm-hmm. and I guess it's a much more it's a safer road. It's got it's paved, and it's got,
a bypass, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's a bypass, but it totally bypasses this road that so you don't have to take this road mm-hmm. if you don't want to. I don't know why some people still do, but they do. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the only people that are really using it now, occasionally, there's occasional freight that goes back and forth, which is ridiculously dangerous.
Yeah.
But a lot of tourists will take this road just to say that they've been on the world's most dangerous road.
Oh, gosh.
Which is ridiculous, but a lot of people bike on this road as well. Mm-hmm. And that also extremely dangerous because, you don't have...
Yeah, I think maybe a bike would be a little bit safer.
I don't know, Ben.
This is one thing... Okay.
I don't know, you might get run off the road by a bus or...
Okay,
because
yes, you're right.
I've read story, and I'll let you
know
before you get back, but I read a journalist's account of traveling on this road, and they were in a cab or something like that mm-hmm. where they're being driven, possibly a bus, and they said that there were impatient people behind them that were passing on this road. And if you've seen photos of this road, if you've ever seen this road, I mean, the cliffs, these are sheer cliffs mm-hmm. with ragged edges that are being washed away daily by rain. I don't know how the road is still... there even. I mean,
and the Andes, since the elevation is so high, it's ridiculous. It's Pike's Peak in terms of the stress on an engine, too.
Oh, yeah, it's extremely, extremely high. And just super dangerous. I mean, if you go over the edge, that's it. You're done.
We'll take the bypass when we go. Hey, I'll tell you something really quick before we end up, because I know I got really excited about this. I know I've been talking your head off.
Yes.
Okay. So
no, you're not talking about it. You got excited about it. Remember?
I was when I was living in Guatemala, in the highlands there. They have. I was one of those guys on one of those buses because that's the cheapest form of transportation, and it's oftentimes very reliable. But these decommissioned school buses, like that Bluebird built, are everywhere in Central America, and they're literally on every road. And I think the reason, earlier I was kind of chickening out about Pike's Peak, and I said, no, I'm not doing it. I might ride with you, but that's it.
Yeah.
It's because of that, man. These buses will, I guess the scariest part was I was asking the driver, I said, hey, how many lanes does this thing have? We're going down the side of a volcano, Scott.
Yeah.
And he said, maybe two, sometimes three. It depends.
And then I went
and sat down away from a window and closed my eyes.
Now, listen, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but when we talked about this off air, mm-hmm. you mentioned that you were holding a chicken during the time.
I was holding a chicken on one ride.
Yeah.
There were more than one ride. There was more than one ride, but because people are packed in so tight, and because I think I look like an okay a trustworthy person.
Oh, sure. Trustworthy enough to hold someone's...
To hold a chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I am worthy of those chickens, apparently. And you know what? That chicken was fine.
Oh, I bet. It made the trip just fine.
We did not wreck.
Good.
Everybody went happily ever after, except I assume at some time the chicken met with an untimely demise, but that's the way of the chicken.
Yeah, I have to say I've never made a bus ride holding a chicken.
Hey, man.
Not once.
Hey, don't be... You're a relatively young guy.
I know.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
Dare to dream.
Dare to dream.
Yeah, that's right.
And I guess that wraps up for us today. For all our listeners, thanks for tuning in, guys. If you have some automobile topic that you've dared to dream of, please email us at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com, and we'll check it out.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.